All right. Good morning. So we better get the first thing out of the way. Oilers all the way. Okay. There is still hope alive, isn't there? Okay, now on to more important things at hand. I know everyone's asking me the question this morning, so I am excited. It's fun. But we want to stop and pray for a moment. Many of us know, some of us know that Pastor Aaron did a quick trip down to Costa Rica this week, and he's down there as we speak. And so we want to lift him up as he rekindles the relationship of that ministry down there. And we've sent a lot of money and funds and support to that ministry. And so we want to lift him up. And we're looking forward to hearing what he brings back as a report on that ministry in Costa Rica. And so would you pause with me for just a moment? God, thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. Thank you for this time of worship and praise. You are a good, good Father. We think of Pastor Aaron as he's down south in Costa Rica this morning. We just lift him up to you and pray that you would go before him, that he would have ears to hear what you are doing in and through the ministries down there, that you would bless him as he encourages the ministry and brings back a report on how things are going and what's going on down in Costa Rica. So we lift him up to you this morning. Pray for his safe return later in the week. And we give you this service. May we have ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in our third message in our sermon series in the book of Philippians. And this is living. So this is what God has for us this morning from Philippians. Pastor Dylan did a great job of starting us off on this series a couple weeks ago, giving us a little background into this book and started us off in that first section. I think one of the most important verses in Philippians, at least it gives us a glimpse of the heart of Paul to this church, and that is in verse 8. Let me just say, this is just kind of a preamble, but it says, God knows how much I love you and I long for you with the tender compassion of Christ. This is Paul's heart to the church of Philippi. And I don't know if he has favorite churches or not. He probably doesn't, but this is his heart for the church of Philippi and probably the church in general. And this is his heart for us this morning as well. He really loves and cares for us. It really matters to him. And this book is written with that mindset. Pastor Aaron continued last week in this first chapter, which he talked about thriving in life storms and being courageous no matter where we are at. While life is hard, God does not want us to accept that this is just the way it is. And Aaron continues on in that message. And God wants us to know that there is more. He is with us no matter how things are feeling and looking. He will be with us step by step as we go along. Now we're going to look at the first part of chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Or your device, you can check in there. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So if you're using a device, you can flip to the NLT. But we're just going to read the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 2. Here we go. Philippians 2, verse 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? I'm just a little bit hot up here, by the way, just a second, like not temperature. It's just ringing just slightly, sorry. And there goes off the AC, so that might help too. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, we're going to jump into this passage this morning. One of my favorite commentary guys, or at least my go-to these days, is this guy named David Guzik, and he helped unpack a little bit of this stuff for me, because there's a lot of good stuff in this passage for us to grapple with and understand. So this passage is about unity in the body of Christ. This is about unity and having the attitude of Christ, which he focuses on in verses 6 through 11. But before we jump into that section, which we tend to kind of gravitate to because that's really important, let's first take a look at these first few verses. He first asks a series of questions, really rhetorical questions, to the church in Philippi and for us too. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? I think Eugene Peterson nails the tone of these verses when he says this in the Message. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, do you get the tone? I think that's the message here, okay? In other words, Paul says, if water is wet, if fire is hot, and if a rock is hard, does that help you guys get the picture here? Then, as a follower of Jesus, we can really look at each one of these rhetorical questions and actually ask ourselves that question. Is there any encouragement from being in Christ? For sure. Any comfort from his love? Absolutely. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Yes. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? I sure hope so. These four questions in themselves could be little sermonettes. They're great. And once you can actually say, yes, of course, and Paul assumes that they're saying yes to these four questions, he then says, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. He's asking them, he's pleading with them to be unified, not just flippantly, but wholeheartedly, because we are followers of Jesus. This is the first directive Paul gives to achieve unity. He wants them to be working together, loving one another, of working together in one mind and one purpose. This is the pathway to unity. We're not sure if there was a problem brewing in the church at Philippi, or if Paul just understood that there was great diversity in that city and in the culture, and that probably meant that it was in the church as well, and he wanted them to safeguard themselves. He wanted them to be careful. He wanted them to understand just how important being unified was and is for the church. This is really important. It's important for us as well. So how are we doing in this area? How are you doing in this area? Paul stretches out this directive And he says, be unified, yes, agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. And then he goes on to say, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. This is clear. This is a clear directive by Paul to the church and to us. Those last couple of words are important. Working together with one mind and one purpose. In the NIV, it says, being of one spirit and of one mind. That is true unity, folks. And this can be hard. And Paul doesn't stop by just saying, just be unified and work together. No, unity is the goal. And what follows in verses 3-4 are descriptions on how to achieve and practice and live out unity amongst us and in the church. And that's the second directive. So he wants us to be unified, but then he tells us some more about how to do it. So first Paul says, in the NIV, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. This is the first step to this kind of unity. In the flesh, we are often motivated by selfish ambitions or conceit. Much of what we do or may do may not be done out of love for others, but out of our own desire, out of advancement, or out of promotion. We can get downright selfish. A dictionary definition of conceit is an excessively favorable opinion of one's own ability, importance, wit, and so forth. When we live with the feeling that we are so important or so able or so talented, we are out of God's will. We are working against the unity Paul is pleading with the church in Philippi and for us Christians to have. We are to be humble. Or in our humility, we are to value others above ourselves. And this can be hard. This can be hard to remember, can't it, folks? As our sinful nature just keeps whispering in our ears, no, you first, them second. You're right, they're wrong, of course. You've got the better story, the bigger story. You're out front. Those are the whispers of our sinful self. So it can be hard. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Here the thought is completed. As we put away our selfish ambitions, our conceit, and our tendencies to be high-minded and self-absorbed, we will naturally have a greater concern for the interests and needs of others. So it's not that we give up on our own interests and our own passions. Many of those interests and passions are God-given, and those are really important. And we need to figure out, is this what the Spirit is pushing me toward? Is this God telling me something about my passions and my interests? Go after that. So it's not about putting them completely aside. But he says, we must also be looking at the interests of those around us. How are you doing with that? How curious are you in your conversations with those that you rub shoulders with? How curious are you in what's going on in the lives of those that you rub shoulders with in the lobby or that you rub shoulders with out in your community? And there's some kids having fun. It's all right. Do you truly care deeply and value those that you're connected with? So the goal is unity as Christ followers and as the body of Christ. And the how-to is to not be selfish, but to humble, to be humble and be thinking of others better than yourselves. And again, the NIV uses that word value others. And that's a great word that really helps unpack what that looks like. Are you valuing others? When you value something, you keep it close to yourself, you protect it, you think about it, you press into it. When you value something, it's really important to you, right? Well, if you didn't get the point after those first four verses, Paul goes on and he gives us the best example we could have, and that is the final directive, which is to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So if you couldn't figure it out in those first four verses, he kind of puts an exclamation mark in these last verses. Unity is so important. The pathway to unity is imperative for the church. And this is how he helps us understand it, by having the same attitude of Christ Jesus. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. And then Paul goes into great detail on what that looked like with Jesus. So let me read this again, starting at verse 3. So the first, these three verses, 3 through 8. Though he, Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Paul describes the mindset of Jesus. This is who he was and is. We are to be like Jesus this way. And it's not enough to just admire these qualities in Jesus, though they are very worthy of our admiration and our praise. Absolutely. For sure. But we are encouraged and even commanded to imitate him this way. We have a choice to pursue this in our own life and mindset. Are you choosing to be like Jesus in this way? Think about it for a moment. Are you choosing to be like Jesus in this way? The way that Jesus humbled himself. Jesus was God before he became not a man, but a baby. He chose to not cling to his divine privileges, but humbled himself on so many levels, we can't even begin to understand the magnitude. And here's a list. I read this list, and I'm going to read it to you. Maybe just let this sink in. We are to be like Jesus, like this. He was humble in that he took the form of a man and not a more glorious creature like an angel. He was humble in that he was born into an obscure, oppressed place. He was humble in that he was born into poverty among a despised people and culture. He was humble in that he was born as a child instead of appearing as a man. He was humble in submitting to the obedience appropriate to a child in a household in that day and in that culture. He was humble in learning and practicing a trade. The humble trade of a builder, carpenter. He was humble in the long wait until he launched into his public ministry, like 30 years. He waited. He was humble in the companions and disciples he chose, the riffraff of that culture, tax collectors and fishermen and common folk. He was humble in the audience he appealed to and the very way he taught, out in the countryside, out on the beach, in a boat. He was humble in the temptations he allowed and endured. He was humble in the weakness, hunger, thirst, and tiredness he endured. He was humble in his total obedience to his heavenly Father. He was humble in his submission to the Holy Spirit. He was humble in choosing and submitting to the death on a cross. He was humble in the agony of that death. He was humble in the shame, the mocking, and public humiliation of his death. He was humble in enduring the spiritual agony of his sacrifice on the cross. That's just a little picture of Christ's humility. Jesus humbled himself on so many levels for you and for me and for the whole world. He didn't stop midway. He went right to the bottom. Crucifixion was so bad and shameful that even the Roman citizens were not allowed to be crucified. And yet God allowed his son to reach the bottom rung of society and be killed in such a shameful and brutal manner as crucifixion. Jesus humbled himself on so many levels. And we are to be like Jesus this way. Did you get that, folks? It's awesome to reflect on how awesome Jesus is and praise him for this. But the point of this message is Paul is saying we are to be like Jesus this way. Spurgeon explains it like this. He says, the lower Jesus stoops to save us, the higher we ought to lift him in our adoring reverence. Blessed be his name. He stoops and stoops and stoops. And when he reaches our level and becomes man, he still stoops and stoops and stoops lower and deeper yet. We are to have the same attitude as Jesus. Now, because of all this, Paul finishes this section off with these last few verses, which Jesus did not, which says that Jesus did not stay in this place, but his Abba Father lifted him up. Verse 9, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now just pause over that thought, that Christ did not crown himself, but that his Father crowned him, that he did not elevate himself to the throne of majesty, but that his Father lifted him there and placed him on that throne. We could spend a significant amount of time understanding these verses much more and about what Jesus did and who he is because of this. But the main point that Paul is sharing to the church at Philippi and for us is to go back to this goal of asking them and for us to be unified together in one mind and one purpose. We are to be unified, folks. As a church, we are to exalt Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And in so doing, be like Jesus in all areas of our life, in all areas of our church, in our ministries. We are to be like Jesus. This is the pathway to unity, folks, in the body of Christ. Humbling ourselves to be like Jesus. And how that is being worked out in the church can look lots of different ways as we pursue Jesus. There's big church and small church. There's events and activities, and the list goes on of all the way that ministry can work out through the church as we exalt him and stay unified together. But it's so important to stay unified as a church. And even so much more in these days at UDAC here in transition. As you've heard, our leadership is listening to Jesus, leaning into this process of revisioning here at our church. It's so important. We're working on it even as we speak in these next few months. And we ask that you continue to pray for us as leaders, that we would hear what Jesus is speaking to us on. And if you have questions, if you have concerns, don't be afraid to reach out to one of the leaders, one of the elders, one of the pastors, and ask, what's going on? Where are we at? If we find ourselves maybe in a conversation or in a place where we sense the conversation is becoming very critical about the church and about what's going on or what's not going on, stop that conversation in its tracks. That's not unity, folks. Stop that conversation and do something about it. Stop it and go and find out. Go talk to somebody or hold that person you're in conversation with and say, hey, you need to go chat with somebody, one of the leaders. And then check up on them. Because if it was important for them to bring that up in a conversation with you there, it's important enough to follow up later. Yeah, we need this so we can stay unified as a church and for His purpose, especially in these days. We are in this together for His glory and for His purpose. And I don't think we have a problem in this area, just like the church in Philippi. I don't think necessarily the church of Philippi had a problem or issues, but Paul was stressing just how important it was to stay in this together and to be unified. And so I just say for us, let's just stay in this together and be unified as a church, as a family. Let's safeguard ourselves in this area. This is where we're at, Philippians chapter 2. We're right in it. We are to be unified by being of one mind and purpose, and ultimately having the same attitude as Jesus, the same posture as Jesus. Paul is pleading with the church of Philippi to safeguard themselves in this area, and he's pleading with us too. So where are you at on this? What's going on in your heart? What is the Spirit of God speaking to you and whispering to you this morning? Stop and ask yourself that question. Am I like Jesus in this way? Am I putting aside all my ambitions and my wants and my, I think this is a better way to do stuff? Are you? Are you listening to the Spirit of God? This letter is for us too. What's God saying to you? Let's listen and follow through on what those whispers of Jesus is saying to you and to me, and to us as a church. So, we're going to close in prayer. And as we do always, I know Ron and Sharon, I saw them at the back. I think they're coming to pray. They'll be up here at the front. And so if you would like to pray with them after this morning, we would invite you to come and pray. I'm going to be lingering around here. And, you know, like I said in my message here, that if you have questions or concerns, you need to go and chat with somebody. Well, there's some of our elders are here this morning. I see Dan, Emery, Dennis. I don't know, who am I missing? Someone else is probably here. But I'm here. And if nothing else, we can blame Aaron on lots of stuff because he's not here. No, just kidding. But be courageous. Let's lean into this. Let's be like Jesus on so many of these levels. Okay? So, as I close, I want to remind you, this morning we have a gift for the fathers. As you go out the door, we have the good old-fashioned dad's root beer for everybody, for the guys. So, make sure you get one of those. And next week, I remind you that we have one service at 10 a.m. For our summer schedule, and that's for the next couple months. So, or come at 9 and have coffee with me. That would be fine, too. If you come late, then that'll be bad. But anyway, I'm going to close with Colossians. May this be our benediction for all of us as we head out in this week. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next time.